You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another happy episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul, and I have the pleasure of having Mr. Haya Costello from Drone DJ. Welcome, my friend. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you very much. And how are you doing today?
Doing very well. It is a busy news day, as you know, or news week. We follow from CES, and it looks like every developed country in the world, albeit government, is shut down, they still are releasing new laws one way or another. I mean, with Canada coming out, it looks like Brendan Schulman launched the NPRM that was supposed to go out, but the FAA, due to the government shutdown, was unable to release it. And now we're learning that the FAA symposium is also canceled as well. So a lot of news coming down at the pipeline. Haya, so what do you have for us first?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot going on. Let's start with Canada. The Canadians have come out with new rules for drones, flying larger drones. These new rules are going into effect as of June 1st. And this was announced on January 9th that these new rules will start to take place. And they apply to drones that weigh over 250 grams, but no more than 55 pounds. And basically what it means is that anybody who's over the age of 14 will be allowed to fly a drone. You have to be over the age of 16 for more advanced drones and more advanced drone operations. And you will have to take an online exam as well as getting a pilot certificate, which I assume you're going to get once you pass that online exam successfully. For heavier drones or other special flight operations, you will still need a special license from the Transport Canada department. So it's not like you can fly all kinds of drone operations. But this is the news for Canada. And more information on this you can find on the website from Canada Transport. www.tc.gc.ca, which almost sounds like some special code. It's funny, at the article that we published on Drone DJ, one of our readers who was actually from Canada replied pretty quickly, and he said that they were actually pretty happy with these new drone rules, as the AGL is now increased from 300 feet to 400 feet, and you're actually able to fly in spaces or locations that previously you were not. Their only concern was that the DJI drones, as of yet, have not been officially authorized to fly in Canada under these new rules. So it sounds like DJI has until June 1st to catch up on this.
Interesting. Is that because of a geofence issue, or is that something else as to why flying DJI?
I'm not quite sure. This is something that we're currently looking into. But I think what it means is that all the drones in Canada have to be at least known by the Canadian government and have to be categorized. And it sounds like the drones from DJI are currently not in the new rules accepted, at least.
That is fascinating, to say the least. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. On the verge of, you know, the NPRM coming out, I'm actually excited that Canada is going to be releasing these new rules, as they've always been so strict when it comes to the distance in which you can fly your drone around objects, which is really fascinating. Because for a while, they're like, you have to be 500 meters from the nearest object. And you're like, wow, that's really far. So really excited for this.
Very strict. I mean, we were in Canada about a year and a half ago, and I did not fly my drone in many occasions because I just wasn't sure if I was even allowed to fly there. They have been very strict, so it doesn't really come as a surprise to me that our reader from Canada is actually pretty happy with these new rules. It is going to be interesting, though, that whole section about DJI. I guess we have still until June 1st, so there's plenty of time, but still.
I'm really happy because when I was flying in Canada, because I actually won the World Series of Wake Surfing Video of the Year in Canada, and when we had our document that we had to fill out for the Canadian Aviation Authority, it was unbelievably long how much information you had to put into that. Well, it seems like in another developing country that is also suffering from a sort of government shutdown, not really, but we're talking about Brexit here. It seems that the UK has also released some new rules as well, and that is really interesting to me, as they have convinced the world that a drone was flying around Gatwick for 3 days, which we now know was not. So what are the new rules in the United Kingdom, my friend?
Well, there's a lot going on there as well, of course. I mean, it's not just Gatwick. It was Heathrow as well a week after. England was already working on new drone rules, and they had opened it up for the feedback from the public. They had, I think, over 5,000 responses, and they now revealed the outcome just on January 7th. One of the things that changed that doesn't come as a surprise, I guess, is that it's now illegal to fly a drone within 5 kilometers of an airport. And it used to be up to 1 kilometer, which was a rule that was only introduced in the summer of 2018. So really not all that long ago. Now it's going to go up to 5 kilometers, which is about, let's say, 3 miles, give or take. And also this new restriction will include a rectangular extension at the end of the runway. So similarly to what DJI is doing with their geofencing 2.0, they're going to take into consideration the approach and the takeoff areas from runways, which I think is a smart thing to do. The other thing that is part of these new drone rules is that the police will be allowed to issue fixed penalty notices. So they'll be able to basically issue fines or tickets to people who break these rules. And for instance, if you're not able to produce any registration documents or proof of registration of your drone between 250 grams and 20 kilos in mass, that could be one reason to get a fine. Not being able to produce any other evidence that you have permission to fly could be a reason to get fined. So they've given the police more tools to counter rogue drone pilots or rogue drone operations or suspected rogue drone operations, I should say.
Gotta love this. More tools to solve a problem that never existed. Gotta love government. Yeah.
It's an interesting one. I mean, like you said, they still have no proof of any drones there. And most likely, I think people may have been confused by police drones that were flying around at that point at Gatwick. Yeah, so that's about England, basically. There's a minimum age there of 18, which seems kind of high to me. 18 years old before you are allowed to fly a drone. We'll see if this will all come into effect. The English people are also waiting on European drone regulation. So even though they may or may not leave the Europe, they are still looking to Europe for the drone regulations and the developments over there.
It's really interesting, Haya, because Canada was one of the first places that implemented drone law, and the UK quickly followed behind with the US in last place. And I joked online, and Loretta Alke, who used to be chief counsel for the FAA, I joked with her and I said, you got to give the FAA the benefit of the doubt here. They may have been last, but they put out the best drone rules. And she's like, I doubt the FAA was thinking like that. I said, hey, we can't give them the benefit of the doubt here. That being said, I do find it interesting how most other developed countries are constantly changing their rules now. And I think that the risk-based approach from the FAA is showcasing that it is a scalable regulation, and it's regulations based on science, not based on feelings. And it looks like we're seeing more of these regulations in response to events, or should I say non-events. So very interesting. Well, what else are you seeing in the drone world this week?
Well, I think what you just mentioned is really interesting, the fact that it needs to be risk-based. And right now it seems that all these different countries are kind of leapfrogging each other, like they're catching up or they're overtaking each other. A more coordinated approach, although that seems not likely, but I think that would be very beneficial. The US is now taking a more risk-based approach. The Secretary of Transportation, Elaine Chao, says that the U.S. Department of Transportation would for the first time now start to allow routine flights over people as well as flights at night without waivers, which is a massive breakthrough. As soon as these rules come into effect, I'm sure companies like Google and Amazon and Zipline are eager to start their drone operations in the U.S. as well. Elaine Chao said that these new rules would help communities reap the considerable economic benefits of this growing industry and help our country to remain a global technology leader. So I'm really happy to hear that, because it means that drones and the development of the drone industry in the U.S. at least is still high on their list, which is a good thing, I would say.
It also sounds like Elaine Chao was supposed to drop this information bomb at CES, the future of mobility. Wow, that's fascinating. We would have had a lot more to report on at CES. I'm glad Brendan Schulman released it in the UAV group, because that's now where like the hub of information is coming, and it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? I mean, the whole government shutdown has all kinds of unintended effects. I mean, earlier this week, there was a session from DJI in Washington with Microsoft about the protection of data. coming from drones, and that got cancelled. Now, of course, the symposium got cancelled. Elaine Chao's speech at CES didn't take place. So there's a lot of things that were affected in the drone industry.
It is disappointing, to say the least. So what else do we have in this week's drone news, my friend?
Well, one of the things that's interesting is Indemnus came out with a Nexus parachute for DJI drones, especially the DJI Inspire. They're planning to come up with models also for the larger commercial drones in the Matrice 200 and 600 series. They now meet the safety standards with this parachute system for the Inspire. So once we're allowed to fly over people, having this parachute system in place, you can take the Inspire and get all kind of video footage or photos that previously you weren't able to. So I'm thinking that this is a big breakthrough, and we'll see drones being used in many more situations than previously was possible.
And is this the same Nexus parachute that's been out for a while that's essentially just been validated very recently as complying with the NPRM? Because if I remember, a while ago they did a piece on how ballistic parachutes were necessary for systems with drones because of the speed in which the articulation of the bird starts to spin when it crashes, and they needed a ballistic parachute to get the parachute away from the bird itself.
It seems that that's exactly what they've done. I mean, if you look at the videos that they've released, you see like there's some kind of tunnel system almost where the parachute gets projected away from the drone, so to make sure that it wouldn't get tangled up. So I think some changes in the design may have taken place in that area. I'm not sure if the parachute itself was changed very much. My understanding is that the testing that took place in Rome, New York, actually was a pretty, or at least leading up to that testing, was a very time-consuming process. So it may well be the same parachute. I think just getting that parachute away from the drone, away from the props and the arms, was a big thing.
Yeah, I even saw recently a video where, the battery issue that you've talked about on the show remains to be prominent. And I saw someone was using a Para Zero parachute on their M210, and they had a battery failure on their M210, and the Para Zero parachute saved their $20,000 drone. And it's really interesting because it seems like the market is shifting from those larger enterprise drones to more compact, flexible travel drones, like the Mavic 2 Enterprise Dual that has a thermal camera, which it seems like thermal cameras are being viewed as something more helpful in the world now.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And that's a nice segue to our next story. There was in Brownsville in Texas, which is right on the border with Mexico. There was an 88-year-old man who wandered off, was reported missing or lost at least. And he ended up in some grassy area with grass pretty high up, let's say 3, maybe even 4 feet high. And it seems like he must have been confused because I don't think he moved all that much, but he was stuck there. Lost at around 5:30, and only at 11 p.m. that same night, they finally started using a drone with a thermal camera, and lo and behold, they found him pretty soon after. So it's a great example of how drones with thermal cameras are making a huge difference in being able to save people's lives. Also, getting that equipment on smaller and less expensive drones, of course, is a big breakthrough. In this case, there was a deputy fire chief, Mr. Pedraza, if I pronounced that correctly, who said that in this case, the drone with the thermal camera very likely saved this person's life.
Wow, it goes to show how powerful those small drones can be for firefighters, public safety officers, police officers, and everyone else. Well, what else do you have for us as we wrap up this week's drone news, which is littered with crazy amounts of information and depth, but it's exciting. It's really disappointing the government is shut down as the industry makes such extensive progress.
Yeah, it is very unfortunate, and that's something that helps us, of course, right now to speed things up. It is good to see people being creative with drones and coming up with new solutions. The one that kind of blew me away earlier this week was a drone that was outfitted with a life preserver, but not one of those inflatable ones. When they touch the water, they all of a sudden blow up. No, this was just a regular life vest, and they only used a ordinary DJI Mavic Pro drone. And this happened in Australia. Australia, of course, they are at the forefront of using drones to keep swimmers and surfers safe in the water. So they used this DJI Mavic Pro, basically used a Gannett bait release system that you see used by people who use drones for fishing purposes. They use that same mechanism and just hang a full-blown life vest off a DJI Mavic Pro. And apparently it worked. I'd be doubtful if it would work in very windy conditions, because I can imagine that that life vest would catch a lot of winds. But I guess if the conditions aren't that crazy, this is another way that you can use a drone to potentially save somebody's life.
Well, on that bombshell, it's amazing that people are using drones in just numerous ways to save lives, as I believe more and more people need to see the benefits of these drones. And just to say, for everyone listening out there, there are drones that do have those mechanisms built into the remote. So if you're familiar with the Swell Pro Splash Drone 3, it actually has a mechanism on the remote itself where you can actually drop things. And we even did a video. We never published it because the person who was the victim in our video refused to sign a model release. This was like 2 years ago. And we dropped the M35, which is typically a waistband style life preserver, which does inflate once it hits the water. And it was amazing the speed that you could deliver that, and also the accuracy in which you could drop it. So it's really powerful that more and more people are seeing the positive uses of drones. And I think, you know, as Australia is further ahead in this development, I think places like Hawaii and Florida will soon to be catch up, especially with the ability to fly right over people, right? Because when you're on a beach line, chances are you're going to have to transverse people in order to get the life preservers. So perfect example of how these new laws will shape a future for saving lives.
Yeah, totally agree. And the more drones we get into people's hands and the more examples and stories we have of drones doing good and helping people in different ways, I think the better it is to move this industry forward. So that's basically the news that we have for this week for you guys. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
Hey, as always, Haya, I really appreciate it. And everyone out there, thank you so much for listening. If you want to leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts, please let us know how we're doing. And if you love the show, share it with a friend so they can learn and stay airborne like you. Haya, thank you again for being on the show, my friend.
Thank you very much.
That's going to do it for us today, guys. My name is Paul, and you're listening to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.